Working Class on Deercast. Kurt Geyer here.
Eric Common.
Austin Chandler.
What's up, fellas?
What's going on?
Nothing, man. I feel like we, even though we haven't really missed a week of recording as far as like schedules are concerned, we haven't really been in the studio for just over a week because we just got back from bear camp.
That's right.
Which was a ton of fun. None of us killed bears. Well, you didn't. You were doing other stuff, Austin.
Yeah, I had to farm.
Yeah, farm. That's understandable, though.
It's in the way.
Oh, yeah. That happens, though. You got to get that in.
We're going to do a post-bear camp, like, BS session because we're due for some BS sessions. You know, like a recap. We'll talk about that hunt. But this is sort of a BS session. We're just going to talk about what we've been up to and what's coming, I guess. What's coming down the line.
Yeah, what's been going on. What's coming.
For sure.
First thing, I guess we can announce, by the time this launches, we'll have some new shirts up on the store.
Yep.
WorkingClassBowhunter.com. We got some fun ones. And then there'll be more following that as well this summer. But really, man, we're kind of in the shoot just ended. Great times as always. And then we're basically looking to our first hunt coming into the fall. In August, we're going to South Africa.
Yep.
Assuming the world is still existing and Biden hasn't completely tanked the economy.
You never know what's going to happen. This,
you know what? We might just want
to
move the headquarters of Working Class Bowhunter to South Africa.
There you go. There
to
you
be
go.
Honest,
can you farm over there?
I'm sure we could find some dirt.
Yeah. We could find something to grow, or we can go to like Brazil. I think they harvest like two or three times a year. That's where the money's at.
Dude, instead of like the finger pickup, we'll actually be using our fingers to put the seed in the ground.
There you go. So. Yeah. There you go. Well, use a horse again.
Maybe I'm making this up, but I feel like when I worked down in Brazil for a little bit, guys were telling me that they harvest and plant right after each other.
That's wild.
I don't know how true that is, but it sounds really cool.
That just sounds bizarre to me because you think it would just pull all the nutrients out of the dirt and nothing would grow.
You would think so. Maybe they got the combine, something putting down for nutrient, and then something planting right after. I mean, if you can get three harvests a year, it'd be worth it.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Can you imagine? So yeah,
especially right now.
For people who don't know, Austin's a full-time farmer. And then have we talked about what we do lately? It's been a little while. Maybe the Deercast.
I don't think we've talked about it on Deercast, have we?
I think we probably have, but Austin's a full-time farmer.
Yep. Do a little bit of outfitting on the side.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool side hustle.
Yep.
And we can talk about that a little bit. People might be wondering how you, like,
I don't want to promote it too much because I'm already full, but
okay, yeah.
I've got some close buddies that come back every fall and the spots are kind of reserved for them. And I think this year I'm going to be up to like 20 clients and that's the most I've ever had. So
what made you like want to start doing that?
Well, honestly, I bought my first farm and I needed a way to kind of supplement some income. I knew that I had X amount of bank payment to make and I knew what the farm was going to make on the tillable ground and the CRP payment. So I'm like, okay, here's the, whatever it was, $5,000 to $10,000 gap. Mm-hmm. If I sell X number of hunts, then I'll make up that gap. I won't have any money out of pocket in the farm.
Yeah.
So
the farm's paying for itself at that point.
Yeah, so you make the farm, you know, the farm work for itself, make the payment, and then you don't have anything out of pocket.
Right.
And then it just kind of snowballed from there.
That's a cool thing. Like, we have a lot to talk about coming up this summer. Like, we have episodes in the hopper that I still have to schedule that I think to me is really interesting content and maybe some information. We could open up a lot of eyes to regular working class listeners that might not think they can afford a piece of ground or like how to have a piece make its own payment. Like, you know, because buying a house is different from buying property because your house doesn't make you any money. Unless you got something figured out that none of us help, you know, the rest of us
unless
don't.
The property that's making money has a house on it.
That, yeah, that is too. Yeah. But I mean, we're going to get into detail on that, but that's a unique way to like think about it. And it makes sense too, you know, like if you got other places to hunt and you can sacrifice several years of hunting to pay for the farm with the cost of an outfitted hunt.
Right.
It's kind of a win-win.
And the way I looked at it, like I still hunt the farms with my buddies that come back and hunt, so I still get to hunt the farm. They're just kind of helping me make the payment, you know.
Yeah,
I'm fronting the money at the bank. They're just kind of hunting the farm with me.
So, it's like a lease.
Yeah, it's fun. I get to hunt it, my buddies get to hunt it, and the payment's made.
Yeah. And then Eric, what the hell do you do for a living?
I am a welder at Motion Raceworks. So we make a lot of LS parts. It's a full CNC shop and then weld shop at the same time. So I'm in charge of the weld shop. A lot of lightweight steering columns, parachute mounts, a little odds and ends stuff, but
it's a cool job. Fun.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. It's a still job.
It's cool. It's a job. But yeah. I mean, there's this cool stuff. I mean, we get to build cars all the time. And, you know, there's
the Bald Regal.
The Bald Regal. Yep. We just got that back from Florida. It just came back up.
Because Motion Raceworks, your company you work for, is real big on YouTube and stuff.
Yeah, they're huge on YouTube. So if you guys are into cars and stuff, go check that out. But
well, Cletus McFarland's like your poster boy for Motion, isn't he?
Oh, he's a business partner now.
Oh, for like legitimate.
Yeah. Legitimate bought into Motion. So he's actually.
Where's he at? We need to get him on the podcast.
I know. He comes up every once in a while, but not very often. And I asked him last time he was up. I'm like, hey, I got a podcast. Would you mind doing? And he said, yeah. So we'll have to get him over here sometime.
Yeah, let's do it at Motion.
We can, yeah.
That'd be pretty cool, actually. That'd be fun. I don't know what the hell we'd talk to him about, redneck shit.
Well, that and just building a YouTube page. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of hunters out there that like to build a YouTube page.
Oh, yeah. Or, that's true.
Or, like, get into that side of things. And
there's actually a lot of people that I'd like to talk to that, like, don't have anything to do with hunting, but, like, mindset-wise.
That's what I mean. Like, he's a big businessman. You know, he started on YouTube, and that's where it grew from there. So, I mean, yeah. There's a lot of people in this industry that would like to get on YouTube and start it on YouTube.
Right.
Where he would be good to come in that where people from the hunting industry might look at it different from the car industry. You know, take some pieces from the car industry, the hunting industry.
That would actually be really fun, fun conversation. Like, one of my biggest, I'm not going to say who he is, but I have probably my number one hit lister for the podcast. It doesn't even, well, he might hunt. He probably does hunt, but he's not known for hunting. Actually, I have two hit listers. One's so bizarre. I'm not going to say who they are. I'll tell you after. You guys know who
I think
they
I
are.
Know one of them.
Yeah, you know, you guys know both of them. But
okay.
Big YouTuber.
One's a big YouTuber. One's also kind of a big YouTuber. Musical? Kind of. Both of them kind of are.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Actually, I have three that would fit that.
The list is just going to keep
getting bigger. The more categories we bring up, he's like, yeah, I'll add that one.
You know what's strange? It's like all three of them that I just thought of are all like kind of music related, but not. It's you'll know when I tell you later.
Okay.
And then if they ever happen, they'll be like, ah.
Okay. It would be cool to get people on, though, that are from different industries that you can kind of pull off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've always wanted to get my buddy Dakota. Doesn't hunt. City boy.
Yep.
Barber in Columbus, Ohio. I've always wanted to get him on and just have him, like, just talk about shit. I don't know, just random stuff.
Get him in here.
I try. He's weird.
You know we'd have fun.
He's weird
we'd
about
have
it.
Fun with it.
He, like, won't really do it. He said, like, kids come in that he, oh, kids, guys that come in that he barbers for always ask him to do, like, their podcast. And he's just like, nah, dude, I'm good. He's just, I get
he's
it.
He's just that way.
I don't know.
Nah, dude.
I'll get him to do it. But I don't know. I should talk about what I do. I work here, but at the podcast, but I worked at John Deere product development before. And then before that I worked for a quarry company. And then before that I worked on a farm. So that's my lineup of
God, work. I didn't know we were going through the whole lineup from when you started working.
Well, everyone on the internet's going to be like, you're not working class. You sit at a desk. It's like, yeah, okay, I do now, but
it took a little work to get there.
Anything can come true.
I got to answer Doug real quick. He's confused on the Torx bit.
Oh, Doug don't. He sits at a desk.
He's having a hard time figuring out what bit we need.
Doug legitimately is. Just tell him to buy a kit. We'll pay him back. We're rearranging the studio and like rearranging deer heads and redoing our entertainment system and stuff like that. So everything has like T15 Torx bits or whatever the hell
it's some
are.
Random weird size of the screws that they
usually
previously had in here.
Usually it's a 20.
T20 or T25 is kind of a standard, you know, but
or a 25. Yeah, that's what everybody's got. To 25.
When you buy your Milwaukee set, it should be in there, and this one is not.
It was in there at one time, probably. Oh, it was. Okay. But we probably we might have misplaced it at some point.
It's probably in the basement.
Could be
the studio.
Could be.
But
no one wants to go down.
What else is new, boys? We got a busy summer. Like, we're gonna really the training for we're going to Africa.
Yep.
I drew a Wyoming elk tag. So I'll be hunting out there in Wyoming. I'm gonna be sounds like I guess this is probably worthy of conversation here. We're just BSing all over the place. My buddy Trey, our buddy Trey, that I'm going hunting with, is like, hey man, we're gonna go where there's like a high density of grizzlies. You might want to get a sidearm. Like one with some punch. And I'm like, oh, really? I guess I didn't think I never carried a pistol out there anyway, ever.
Right.
It's kind of a pain, you know? And then started doing some research and I'm like, man, talk to Austin. What'd you get when you went to Alaska? and you're like, man, accuracy by volume.
Yeah. So you're going to pull that trigger once, you want to be able to pull it a lot.
Like 15 times. So I bought a Glock 20 10 millimeter.
Hell yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, I'm not a gun guy, but it'll be cool to have. I've always kind of wanted a Glock.
When do you get it? Can we shoot in the studio?
Yeah, we can shoot at the table.
Yeah.
Have your first desk pop.
Pop. Like on a Boondock Saints where he hits the desk and it blows the cat up. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? So I mean, the sidearm would be kind of neat.
Yeah.
I want to find some of those like laser engraving, put like a grizzly skull on the slide or something.
Be fun. I mean, you're going to grizzly country, so I don't blame you for buying that.
If you don't need it, it's worth the peace of mind just to be able to have it on your person when you're in that kind of country.
Especially, I mean, having a family and stuff. You just never know.
Oh, man. It's when I took mine to Alaska, and that, it was a big concern for me. You know, you're dropped in the bush for 10 days. I mean, if you do have an incident, you're waiting hours for somebody to get there to you.
Yeah. So
it was important to me to have a sidearm on me. But I'll show you that little chest holster that I had. I could reach right under my bino harness and pull it out right behind my binos.
Did everybody have one? Did Ross and Cody have sidearms?
Ross brought his 45, but he never packed it with him because Cody and I always had ours on him. Now, Cody had one that went like around his leg, but it'd get hung up on the brush quite a bit. There's a lot of brush up there in Alaska. Out west, it might not be as bad, but I really like that chest holster. And plus, it kept it dry. Like, I could zip my jacket up and keep everything dry.
Yeah.
So that was underneath your jacket. And so yeah. Is the gun, jacket, bino harness.
I'd wear like a light jacket and then my bibs. I had like a pair of Sims waders.
Mm-hmm.
And then my bino harness, and then my gun was kind of like behind my bino harness. And then I could wear a jacket over it.
Gotcha.
So my plan is to get the holster and have it attach on the bottom of my bino harness. So it's like, I don't know if it's molly webbing or whatever, but it'll go right. So it'd be my bino harness.
It's sitting horizontally this
yep.
way.
So when I got to grab it, I just rip it through the button and pull it out.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think that'll make me want to carry more, probably where I would regret not having it because it was like a pain to carry and
kind of
a hassle. That's why I don't, you know, I have a concealed carry license. I carry sometimes, so I don't all the time because it's kind of a pain.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I think, will keep it to where it's just there. If I'm nervous about something or getting a spot, I can just...
It's going to give you that comfortability that, okay, I have it here just in case.
Plus, it'd feel kind of cool, you know?
Just walk around with
it. But I'm going to keep one in the tube.
Oh, yeah.
Because you just never know, man.
You don't. Especially going to grizzly country.
A grizzly bear is a real-life boogeyman.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Like, around the Midwest, so... Did I tell you? So I was following Trey out on the bear hunt. Trey was in front of me, and he's a straight Western boy, hard to keep up with. We're going on this trail, and I had a headlight, but our headlamp, I didn't turn it on because it was like kind of gray lit out. So we're like walking down through this canyon, and I'm like trying to follow Trey without turning my light on just to not have it on. And then I see him kind of go around this bend, and then he's gone. And then I'm like, all right, where did he go? And I come over, and he jumped behind a tree. And then I walk out, and we're in potential grizzly country there, but not the density that I'm going to be. And I come around the corner, and he's like, rah! And I'm like, even though like I saw him and processed him, I still jumped.
Oh, yeah. You still got scared.
And I'm like, gah! I'm like, dude, I'm jumpy. Like, I'm not jumpy here in the Midwest. Like,
no.
Not a lot that can get you unless it's like another person.
But it's totally different out there.
Well, you're taking the Midwest boy out of his element and sticking him in foreign country, and then you add in the cougars and the wolves and grizzly bears.
Black bears.
I mean, yeah. Everything's out there to get you. Yeah. We got coyotes here. That's
I said
it.
I'm jumping. Trey's like, yeah, me too. And I'm like, well, yeah, you probably have to be. He goes, you have to be jumpy. He goes, it better be jumpy. Then I'm like, yeah, it would have been a little weird if I just walked by like an idiot, like didn't even react.
didn't even phase it. You just kept going.
Just perfect prey for anything that wanted to kill me. So that's kind of funny, but he got me on that one. But I don't know, man, that's just side conversation. I went with the Glock 20 just because I don't know much about guns, but I thought, like, oh, 9 millimeter for a sidearm, 10 millimeters, it's a millimeter bigger, right? Like, what does that mean? It's,
I don't know, that's
completely different
metric system. I don't know that shit.
There's no replacement for displacement. You've heard that one.
That's true.
Bigger
is
better.
It's like significantly more powerful of a round. In what detail? I don't know. I just know all the research that I read from you. We had one of the Kiefers on. Actually, he turned you on to the 10 millimeter Glock.
Because I was going to get like a big revolver. I was going to bring up a big hand cannon. He's like, well, do you want one or two shots or do you want like eight or nine? I'm like, 8 or 9 sounds better. Let's do that.
Good point. Yeah, I guess the argument is that like a revolver is not going to jam. You just pull the trigger till it goes off.
They're reliable, but you think about the recoil and how heavy they are. They're inconvenient to pack. They're long. They're big. They're heavy. They got big recoil.
I mean, dirty hair going off.
You think about acquiring your target when you're shooting something that big. You know, you got the recoil. You come back down. You get maybe 2 shots on a charge, whereas with that 10, you know, you settle down on him and just
pop, 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 pop.
Literally get 2 or 3 times the rounds out.
Yeah. That's and hopefully I never have to use it, but I got it. So anyway, I'm thinking about like if anybody knows anyone that does like cool gun laser work or like grip work, I think it'd be cool to put like bear related stuff all over it, you know, just kind of make it like a little quirky thing. Cause that's the only time I'll carry this gun is when I'm out west. So wouldn't it be neat to kind of have it after just something kind of cool?
Yeah. Someone's got to do that in the local area.
I'm sure someone does.
Got to.
Be cool. Put the WCB logo on the slide.
Grizzly skull on there.
That would be cool. I don't know how it look. Might look dumb, but I don't know, man. It'd be kind of fun. But that's like kind of, that's where my head's been a little lately. You know, I hate to say that I'm like looking past Africa, but I'm more looking forward to my elk hunt than I am Africa, to be honest with
right.
you. But Africa is going to be so rad.
Africa is going to be an experience, man. And it's cool because our wives are going to get to go with us. So that's going to be cool. But
Doug's my cuddle buddy for the trip.
It was never a hunt that was on my radar, but now that we're doing it, I'm getting pretty amped up about it. I'm actually reading some books on it, and it's going to be a trip.
What books are you reading?
Teddy Roosevelt actually wrote a book about his African safari, and I'm just starting to get into that, so...
What's that one book about that lion that kills that like tribe and stuff?
Well, The Ghost in the Darkness. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
But it was a book originally, right?
I don't know. It might have been. Val Kilmer starred in the movie, and that's one of my favorite movies.
Trey was talking about that in camp.
He was, yep.
I thought it was a tiger.
What did you say?
A lion.
Lion. It was a tiger.
Right? It was a tiger?
I don't know. Whatever Trey was talking about was a tiger.
Yeah.
I don't remember what movie it was, but that was like his favorite movie.
Because we got in that conversation of like, how come, like, if they let a tiger go and like the Wyoming wilderness and the mountains out there, like, it could thrive probably.
Oh, for sure.
They live in Siberia. Why couldn't they live in Wyoming? How horrifying would that be? No one would hunt.
Yeah, let's not introduce those.
That's invasive species.
In Wyoming.
The Bengal tiger in Wyoming. Oh, no. That's awesome. What were we talking about? Africa. What's on your list?
Well, for whatever reason, I've always wanted a warthog. I want a big old nasty warthog with big tusk, and I want to get him mounted.
Mm-hmm.
So I want one of those. I think Impala are cool, so I would get an Impala mounted.
Classic.
And the Kudu is the big one.
Kudu's like the elk over there, I think. Yep.
I think everybody in our group wants a Kudu.
Yep.
I think so, too. It just seems like the thing to it's the most appealing looking. It's big elk.
Beautiful cape, big animal, massive curling antlers. I mean, yeah, they're cool.
And then Gemsbuck's my second, or Oryx, or there's different types.
Yeah.
But. Yeah.
Is that on your list also, Eric?
Yep.
Yours too?
I'm going to take whatever specimen comes in front of me. If it's like a very good representative of the species, I'll probably be open to shooting it.
But. How many animals do you think you want to shoot?
I guess it depends on what animals I start with. I'm going to be open here. I don't want to shoot 7 of them and have to get them all
out.
Oh,
you do? So you want to shoot 7?
No, I don't. I'd rather shoot like 3 good representatives of the species and be good. But if I have an absolute specimen come in and I've already killed 3, then it's not going to be out of the question.
I hear you. I like that style.
The Cape Buffalo was one that was like high on my list, but then I started looking into like what it takes for equipment, like your arrow weight. And
isn't like an 800 grain arrow or something?
You have to have a very heavy arrow, and you have to be shooting like at least 70 pounds. He preferred 80.
No kidding.
Yeah, they want a very heavy bow and a very heavy arrow.
That's insane.
Yep.
I get it, though. I mean, you want to be equipped. Yep. It's a massive animal. I don't know what they weigh. 3,000 pounds?
Heavy.
I don't know.
2,500 pounds? Let's look it up.
All I know is they're
wide load.
They're mean.
Let's see here. The average Cape buffalo weighs anywhere from 425 kilograms to 875, 935 pounds to 1,900 pounds.
That's a big boy.
Wow. They live like in a majority of Africa, actually. They live 11 to 22 years old.
That thing's insane.
Nah, I'm good. I'd like to shoot one, but it's not on my list. Like,
I think it better be over watering hole just getting in there, though.
Because I think you can do watering hole or spot and stock where we're going. Spot and
stock with archery equipment would be crazy.
It'd be like the ultimate. It's probably one of the most dangerous animals you can hunt with a bow, isn't it?
I believe that it is, yeah.
They're just pissed all the time. Is that just how they operate?
They just don't tolerate humans.
Which, hell, you can't.
I mean, when you get a...
They just remind me of like a mad cow. Like, we've had cattle, and just reminds me of a pissed off cow the whole time. Like, their intention is to just hurt you the whole time.
African buffalo, the Black Death, which we've all heard that phrase for them. But yeah, I mean, that's what they look like. They're a big bull. That wants to hurt you. A
solid piece of concrete over their brain so they can just ram anything with it.
Does anybody have Cape buffalo in captivity, like in the U.S., you think?
Oh, I'm sure. Go to Ohio at the auction.
Mount Hope auction. I don't know. I would love to do. How much was it for a Cape buffalo?
The first camp we were going to go to was a little bit cheaper because I think the quality of animals better at the second camp. I think at the second camp, they were around 10.
What is this other one? 1600 or something? 1200 or 12,000? I mean,
no. Yeah. I think it was 10 or 11 on the second one and like 8 on the first one.
It's expensive, man.
That's a lot of money. And when I started looking at that, I'm like, well, I could almost go back up to Alaska and do a moose trip again for that. So it's like, would I rather have a Cape buffalo or, you know, go up and do like a grizzly hunt or a brown bear hunt? I mean, I got a lot of other things.
Grizzly's a lot cooler than a Cape buffalo.
Well, eventually someday I'll probably do it, but right now I've got other things I'd rather check off the list.
Yeah. Other things on your priority list.
Yep.
I'll tell you, like, if I ever go back to Africa, I want to wear full blown Steve Irwin.
Just like the pewter shirt,
but like short pewter.
We haven't went yet. What are you waiting on?
No, I can't first time. I can't show up like I'm a native. I need to come back. If I go back to kill like a Cape buffalo or something, or like a leopard, I want to show up straight south, look like straight like a South African guy. Just
I don't know why you're waiting. I'd be doing it this trip.
Yeah,
I don't,
bandana.
I got to feel out the vibe first. I don't know how many, like, dude, my legs are fairly tattooed, man. If I show up and everyone's like, who's this gangbanger?
They know you're not from there because your legs are too white. They're not tan.
Yeah, oh, man, to just be blistered up. I want to feel out the vibe first before I show up too aggressive, you know? You know what I mean?
Still be funny, though.
If we do a post-African podcast, if we all survive and make it back, we need to go get those outfits
and just sit here
and theme out the post-African hunt, and we'll all wear that shit, all the
goofy hat on.
Yeah. Just
hey, we can do that for sure.
Just purely and just appropriating their culture somehow.
Just piss them off.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm looking forward to it, man. I think it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I just don't know what to expect yet until we get there.
I'm kind of scared of like landing in, was it Johannesburg, Jonesburg, whatever.
Yeah, we go from Chicago to Qatar.
I'm more sketched out about Qatar than I am, I think.
Everyone was telling us that right now, Johannesburg or whatever, how it's pronounced, is pretty rough right now.
Yep.
So we're going to have to.
A little rowdy.
We're going to have to look dangerous.
Yep.
Well, keep everything we've close, got Jacob what with they us. Said.
Yeah, we got Jacob with us. Johnson, yeah. He looks like a true, I mean, he is an American hero. Legitimately, he is an American hero.
He doesn't care. Sure. I was worried about the 22-hour flight going over there. He's like, dude, when I went to Afghanistan, I had duct tape on the wing the whole time. We're going to be fine.
Yeah. Could you imagine to see that one piece of duct tape flapping for 22
like,
hours?
It was like a 30-some-hour flight, and I was looking at duct tape the whole time. He's like, this flight's not going to bother me.
I've been on I can't remember how far my flight was to Brazil. It sucks. But it's not like that bad because you're like in the experience of it, you know, like you're like excited about the trip.
Right.
Like me, I was going to Brazil for work and I got there and had another 2-hour flight and then had an 8-hour drive to get to where I was at. I get to the hotel in South Brazil and I was pulling on Eric that one time at the bar. You're like, I want to go home.
I want to go home.
I did that right when I got in the hotel in Brazil. I was like, Brazil sucks. Trump was right, you know? And actually I ended up liking Brazil, but, just my initial like burnout from travel and jet lagged and just first time in a I'd never been on a plane until I went to Brazil.
Oh yeah, that was right. That was the first time you ever flown ever.
Ever. I flew to Brazil.
Well,
woof.
An Alaskan flight was 7 and change and that was a long time. I can't imagine 22 hours on
it. It's going to be long, man. But we're all going to be together.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
What is it? It's 13 hours and change to our first pit stop, and then we've got like a 3 or 4 hour layover, and then it's back on for another 8 hours.
Yep. Yeah, but on the way home sucks. We're on the same flight the whole time, you and I,
yep.
Doug, and your wife, and we have a 12-hour layover in New York on the way back or something?
I think it's 8.
Oh, 8. That's better.
8 hour.
Okay, and better.
Same thing we did in Texas. Remember that?
Yep.
On our way back from Wyoming last year.
Uh-huh. And we just found a spot and watch movies.
Yeah, I think I watched like 3 movies.
Watch old Westerns on Amazon Prime or whatever. But that'll be fun, man. Like,
it'll be fun,
it'll
yeah.
be, like, it goes beyond the hunt, right? Like the cultural experience. We need to hit up Kendall Jones and just be like, hey, what do we need to know about Africa?
For sure.
She's been a bunch.
I mean, that's just going to add to the hunt, too. I mean, it's going to be the whole experience, yep. not just being in Africa hunting. It's going to be the travel, the getting down there and everything, you know.
Well, this will be my yep. first time taking my wife on a hunting trip, so that's going to be cool in itself.
Same.
I mean, yeah. she always gets to hear about all these adventures we go on, but yeah. she's never a part of them, so she'll be able to go on this one.
For right? sure. And then one good piece of advice, our buddy Trey, because Trey's been all over. He said, and this is probably good advice for anybody that does any type of hunt, outfitted or not, enjoy the hunt for the experience, not for the kill.
Yep.
So, yes, do your best to be successful in your hunt, but don't be so worried about the kill. You forget to, like, appreciate the view,
yeah.
appreciate the culture, appreciate the people you're with. Like,
yep.
don't just be like, I got to just kill something. Otherwise, it's a failure.
Enjoy the experience in the moment while you're down there.
Yeah. Yep.
Take a break. Look around. Like, look at your surroundings. It's yeah. so many people overlook that because they're so worried about killing something. It's like, just enjoy it while you're there.
Don't get me wrong. I want to shoot stuff.
Right.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that's the reason we're going there. But all these little things, the journey getting from A to B and being there with your wife and your buddies and getting yeah. experience, that whole new culture. I mean, yeah. that's what's going to make that hunt for us.
Don't yeah. overlook these great experiences just for the kill. Like, right. It can all be one big package, because that's kind of like where bear camp has helped us out a little mm-hmm. bit. I think, like, the last 2 years, I killed a bear my first sit down there. Like, got lucky, right? Like, I'll take it every time. But what I'm thankful for that, because I've been able to just kind of enjoy the camp with people.
Right.
And, like, not be concerned about having to kill a bear and just having fun. Like, the first night everybody hunted and I just kind of
just hung out.
I was waiting for Trey. We're going to go out and do some, like, coyote hunting and stuff and maybe try and predator calling a bear, see what happened. And Trey never ended up making it back. So I was like, well, it looks like I'm on vacation. So I just put my feet up and enjoyed the.
Kept our fire going.
Yeah, kept the fire going in the tent, and everybody else was hunting, and I kind of just, it was great, dude. You can't get on your phone.
No. Nope.
You can't get on and check an email.
Oh, man.
You can't text anybody.
That's the thing, though. That scenery is so beautiful out there. You don't even need to hunt. You could just sit in camp and enjoy yourself for a week out there.
Oh, dude, you know, we took naps.
Oh, yeah, every day.
I'm like, I haven't taken a nap, and I don't know how long, you know what I mean? Like a midday nap. We'd get up, eat breakfast in the morning, do magic tricks, play cards.
Go check baits.
I had my horse in the river ram me into a tree. My shoulder hurts still pretty bad.
Don't look at the rocks.
Dude.
Story coming.
Oh, yeah. Some funny stuff. But, yeah, and then just take a midday nap. All
Not
day.
Better.
Just as good as killing a bear, if you ask me.
That's right.
I'll take a nap. Take a little grizzly bear nap. But I don't know. There's a lot to look forward to, man.
Yeah.
We're going to have a lot of, like, follow-up podcasts and stuff. But, busy summer for us. It's almost, I mean, that trip's gonna be here before we know it.
Yeah
and, I mean, everything else is, I mean, slid right underneath us.
Yeah. What are you guys shooting for broadheads in Africa?
I'm embarrassed to say that I haven't even thought that far ahead.
So
we're like 3 months out and my bow's not set up. I haven't thought about broadheads. I mean, I've got a lot of work to do getting my bow together. I'm like, right now I went from the planner to like habitat work. So I'm concentrating on all this habitat work I'm trying to get done. I haven't even thought about my Africa setup yet.
I'm going to do 125 grain fixed blade, I think.
It's probably oh, yeah. pretty good.
Cause I'm going to take that straight from, I think you could do good with the new hybrid head from Slick Trick, but
Assailant.
Yeah, that head is nasty, dude.
Right.
But I think going from Africa straight to elk, I think I'm going to shoot a Viper Trick, 125 grain Viper Trick. That's my
goal. Get some weight out there.
Can't front. Go wrong with that.
Yeah. 75 grain, like outserts or whatever, you know?
Yep.
That's a lot of weight.
I've shot that for 2-3 years.
200 grains up front. Yep.
Yeah. Should be good. Let's get a hold of old Mr. Nate Watts from Victory and pick his brain. But last time I talked about ATA, he's like, just shoot your rip TKOs and add this. You're good.
He likes them rip TKOs.
I love them. I'm in love with them.
Yep. Oh, I shot them whitetail hunting for years. I love them too.
Yeah. It's going to be good, boys.
Can't go wrong.
Well, anything we should add? It's kind of a quick little BS session. Yeah. We've got some more podcasts on the way, some fun stuff down the line. Going to have a busy schedule. Might have a couple double podcast weeks coming. But look for new merch on our store. We're going to start cranking up some live podcasts and more exclusive podcasts on our Patreon between now and Africa is the goal. And then there'll probably be a delay with that between Africa and my elk hunt. But after that, it'll get cranked back up until
whitetail season. It'll put us right in the season pretty much.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah, it's going to go fast, man.
It's going to be here before we know it.
We're leaving the last day of July. I mean, we're in June right now, so we're running
out of next month.
Yeah, we get back in August, and then
freaking
September,
scary.
And then October is deer season.
Yep.
Scary. Oof. Well, it's going to be fun, boys.
Hey, time flies when you're having fun, right?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, everyone. This is kind of a short, fun, lighthearted episode. Appreciate you guys all for listening and watching on DeerCast. Thanks for supporting us there. We couldn't do this if it wasn't for you guys. Listening and commenting and liking and giving us a great feedback. So a lot coming down the line and a lot of good guests on the way. If there's someone you want to hear on this DeerCast series, let us know. We try to keep availability more open on this series than normal. So send the recommendations, throw them in the comments on DeerCast, and we will do our best to make it happen for you.
That's right.
Thanks, everyone. Go shoot a giant. We love you.